Open your Bibles this morning to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. Book of Proverbs chapter 1. By the way, also, boy, I keep on forgetting all these things. During a Sunday school class, I gave a homework assignment. And I was actually wrong on my homework assignment, which means I need to do my homework better. The homework assignment was, there are four people in the Bible that asked God to kill them. There's actually five. Okay, so I was corrected on that. There has been one person that actually came up to me and gave me the answer. Okay, that's actually really pretty good, actually. And so that's the homework assignment, if you're able to find those things. Five people. And I, to be fair, I did it for the Sunday school class. I did give one name. One name is Elijah. But there's four others besides him. That's your homework assignment. Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1, look if you would, starting at verse 20. Proverbs 1:20 says this: Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you, and I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called, and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge, and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel, they despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way, and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whosoever hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Let's pray. Father, I just pray again this morning, Lord, that you'll just preach through me, Lord, and set me aside, Lord, that your word may go out to the hearers this morning, those that are watching, those that are here. And Father, I pray if there's somebody here that isn't saved this morning, Lord, that they will hear clearly the message that's being preached. For those of us that are saved today, Lord, help us to listen to the words of wisdom as well. And Lord, help us to obey those words. And I pray this morning, Lord, that you'll just bless this message now, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You'll notice in these verses that it is actually wisdom that is speaking in verse 20. It begins with the words, wisdom crieth without. And then in verse 21, it says, she crieth. So in this passage of Scripture, wisdom is spoken of as a person. That is, wisdom would be what we would call personified. Now, what you need to learn today is the voice of wisdom is the heavenly wisdom that comes from the Lord. How many of you know that there is heavenly wisdom and then there's worldly wisdom? This is the wisdom that comes from the Lord. When wisdom speaks, God speaks. The invitation of wisdom is the invitation from God. The warning of wisdom is a warning from God. So if it's the wisdom that's speaking to you today, then it is the wisdom of God himself that's speaking to you. In a sense, it is the word of God that's speaking to you. Now, this passage of Scripture here that we read this morning is also known as wisdom's final call. That's what the passage is known of. And there'll be different passages in the Bible that man has given names to. For example, how many of you know that Hebrews 11 is called the Hall of Faith? Okay, that's just a name that man has given it, because Hebrews 11 says by faith, this Noah, by faith Abel, by faith all these different people, by faith the things that they did. But here in this passage, it's wisdom crying, and it's like she's making a final call. And may I remind you that one of these days, if you are not saved, God is going to issue his final call to you. Perhaps that'll be today, maybe that'll be tomorrow. But God only calls a person to be saved while they are alive. And today may be the last day of your life. We don't know. We don't know what's going to happen before tomorrow. Now, as most of you know, if a person has not obeyed the gospel, is not saved, then the Bible says that that person is condemned already. John 3:18 says that he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now the reason why a person today who has not believed upon the Lord is condemned is because we know that the wages of sin is death. And we know that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now if you put those two together, if everybody has sinned and the wages of sin is death, then it's already been determined that those wages have to be paid. So therefore, a person today who has not been forgiven of their sins, they're still under the wages of death. Therefore, they are condemned. Amen? And so that's the reason why the Bible says that. But at the same time, if a person today calls upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and believe that God sent his Son 2,000 years ago to pay those wages on the cross, the Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Bible says that, and if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and shalt believe in thine heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What he's saying is this: if you're here and you are still dead in your sins, you have not had your sins forgiven, you are condemned, but the Lord sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross in your place to pay what you owe. And once he does that, you'll not be condemned anymore. Now, I'm just going to tell you, folks, that's a great deal. And to me, you would think it'd be a no-brainer. You would think that there would be millions of people just running to get saved today. But so many people don't. So many people, either they act like they don't believe it, or they choose not to believe it, or they think that that has to be something that they have to do in order to be saved, some work. But at the end of the day, they're just condemned people. And so if you're not saved today, I would ask you, why wouldn't you be saved? You are condemned. You're just waiting to die. Now, God knows when the time of your death is. And he knows the time of your death. In fact, the time of your death has already been predetermined by God long before you were born. I'll give you a verse, and this is something you probably need to write down. But in Job 14:5, when talking about man, here's what Job says. He says, Seeing his days are numbered, the number of his months are with thee. Thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. Now, when you read the context of that, what he's talking about is this. He's saying that everybody on the planet, before you were born, God said, okay, this date, this hour, you will not live past that hour. Now, if you continue to read over in the book of Job and in Psalms, you'll find out that there are some things that you can do to make that hour get closer to you. In other words, if you go out and you do things bad to your body, things like that, then you'll die sooner. But everybody's got an hour that you can't pass. And God knows when that hour is. Nobody on the planet knows when that hour is, but God knows everybody's hour. Amen? And so he's offered this way of salvation. Now, in this passage here, we see three things in this passage that I want to show you this morning. The first thing we see about this wisdom that's crying out is I want to show you the invitation that wisdom gives. Look if you would at verse 20. It says, in verse 20 it says, wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the streets. Notice that the invitation that she gives here is a public invitation. It doesn't say that she utters it in a closet. It doesn't say she utters it in a back room somewhere. It says she's uttering it in the streets. In other words, she's given an invitation here. Wisdom's given an invitation here, and she's given it publicly out in the streets. You know, when I read that, I was thinking about how there are some street preachers today that they'll stand on the corners and they'll have the big bullhorn and they'll say, ye must be saved, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know what he's doing? He's uttering an invitation in the streets. That's what he's doing. That's what wisdom's doing here. Wisdom here is given a public invitation. Look at verse 21. It says, she crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates, in the city she uttereth her words. The invitation of wisdom is a public invitation, not to just to a few people. God is not willing that any should perish. And so wisdom speaks to all people and says, whosoever will may come. I'm so thankful that the Lord's invitation is to everyone and not just to a few select people, aren't you? You know, there are people today that teach that the Lord's invitation is only to the elect, only to certain people. But that's not what your Bible says. The Bible says that message is to everybody. And I'm thankful that someone went out publicly and proclaimed these words of wisdom. I mean, everybody here, if you think about it, if you're saved here today, is because somebody went out and cried in the streets. Somebody went out and gave a tract to somebody. Somebody went out and publicly told somebody about Jesus Christ, and that's how you got saved. Amen? I'm thankful for that. Let me ask you something. Would you agree that we have the greatest message that this world could ever know? Now think about this. Every lost person, according to your Bible, is condemned already. They are without hope. There is no hope for them at all. They have this life, and this life is as close to heaven as they'll ever get. They'll die and they'll go to hell. Why? They're condemned. We've all sinned. We've all come short of the glory of God. There are none righteous, no, not one. But we have the message that shows a person how he can have his sins forgiven, how he can be given everlasting life. But so many Christians want to hang on to that message, want to wrap it up in a napkin, keep it to themselves and say, "Amen, I'm glad I'm saved." Well, I'm glad I'm saved too. But listen, we have the greatest message. We need to get out there publicly and tell people about Jesus Christ. We got to go out there and let them know. We got to make sure that this message we have is a public message. That means getting out in the streets. That means going to people and talking to them. That means giving people tracts. You know, this past week, I found a different way to put tracts on people's door. It'll help you out a little bit. We got some of these tracts that are called chick tracts back here. In fact, that's one of the ways that the Lord used to save me back in 1975. But anyway, somebody gave me a chick tract and it said, "This is your life." And I'm sure some of you have seen that. And it talks about this man who dies and goes up before the great white throne of judgment and all that. That's how I got saved. Well, you know, if you take that tract, you could put a rubber band in the middle part of it and then take that rubber band and put it over somebody's doorknob and there it is. Perfect. We got rubber bands and tracks back there, by the way. Okay. But what I'm saying is this, however you decide to do it, listen, we got to get this message out publicly. And not only that, not only was it a public message, but I want you to notice too that the urgency that you see in this message. Look at verse 20. It says this, "Wisdom crieth without." Didn't say wisdom was just casually speaking. It says she's crying. Proverbs 21, "She crieth in the chief place of concourse." The message of wisdom is not just a take it or leave it type of message. Wisdom is speaking here with a tear in her voice. There's a sense of urgency here. And Apostle Paul, even he understood the sense of urgency. Christians today are acting like, "Well, it's not a big deal. Maybe I'll witness today. Maybe I won't. Maybe I'll go out next week. Maybe I won't." No, we got to have an urgency, folks. Why? Because there are people dying every day. There are people that you know that are dying. And listen, once they're gone, it's too late. We got to have a sense of urgency here. Here's what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:11. He says, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." You know why he said that? Because he knows the terror of the Lord. He knows that these people are without hope. He knows that today God is offering mercy and grace for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. But he knows that when that person dies, that mercy and grace is not going to be there anymore. Knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. May I tell you, that's the way we need to approach this thing. That's the way we need that's the urgency that we should have. You know, you think about Noah when he was building the ark. He witnessed people for a long time. And don't you know he was begging people? There were people that he knew for his entire life. Noah was an old man when he was building that ark. And there are people that he knew for hundreds of years. We know our neighbor for about 10 or 15 years. We think we know our neighbor. Try being around them for 200 or 300 years. Amen? And here are the people that Noah had seen for years begging them, saying, "The judgment of God is coming. The judgment of God is coming. He's going to flood the earth." And people are laughing at him and saying, "Don't preach to me. And, you know, keep your own preaching to yourself. And don't judge me. And judge not that you be not judged." You know, the same old thing that they say today. And don't you know that Noah was begging these people, saying, "You better get on the boat." And I can imagine even when the rain started, I can just imagine Noah saying, "The rain's starting, get on the boat." Sense of urgency. Here, wisdom has a sense of urgency. Wisdom's so it's so urgent that she's saying, I'm going to get out in the streets. I'm going to get it from the housetops. These people need to know this message that I have. And may I tell you, folks, we need to get out there with a sense of urgency as well. Because we have the one message that God can use to save the soul of a person. The one message that will make sure that a person's sins are forgiven. The one message that when a person receives Jesus Christ, after hearing that message, if a person receives Jesus Christ, they're given everlasting life and they'll never, ever have to go to hell when they die. Wouldn't you say that's a pretty important message? Yeah, wisdom thinks it's a pretty important message too. That's the reason she's out crying in the streets and crying in the concourse. It's an urgent message. It's a public message. It's also a very patient invitation she gives. Look, if you would, at verse 22. She says, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Notice here that wisdom mentions three categories of people that God has patience with. Simple ones, the scorners, and fools. Now, you say, well, who are the simple? Well, simple is a person who's just open to everything. He's easily led, he's gullible, he doesn't stop to think things through. And I suppose that most people in America are just like that today. They're just simple people to the point to where anything that, you know, if the news says it, it must be right. Amen? If the media says it, it has to be right. If I hear somebody say something, that has to be the way things are. That's being simple. That doesn't mean they're bad people. Doesn't mean that they're wicked people. They're just basically saying, listen, I want to live my life the way I want to live my life, and I want to have a good time, and I don't want people to mess with my life, and they never stop to think things through. Proverbs 22:3 says this, a prudent man foreseeth evil and hideth himself. He's prudent. He's thinking things through. But the simple pass on and are punished. Simple never see it. They don't see what's going to happen down the road. You can sit there just like Noah preached to those people back there in Genesis 6, just like we preach to people today. You can go out there and you could tell these people over and over and over that there's judgment coming, that you need to be saved. And they give you that look like they're just waiting for you to finish talking so they could talk about what happened to their sports team. How many of you know what I'm talking about? That like, okay. Hey, what did you think about the ball game last night? Wait, I just told you the most important message in the world. Are you saved? So what? Did you enjoy the green beans I made last Wednesday? That's the way simple people are. In other words, they don't foresee things coming. But may I tell you that the Lord has great patience even with simple people. Notice there in verse 22 it says, how long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? Here wisdom is crying out and saying, how long will you be simple? The Lord is patient with simple people. Then there's a second group of people that he talks about, and that's the group called the scorners. You say, who are the scorners? Well, the scorners are a person that decided that he wants to mock holy things and he wants to laugh at holy things and thinks that he has all the answers in the world and doesn't want to admit that God has anything to do with his life and that he doesn't want to admit that he'll ever stand before the judgment of God. He wants to sneer at all the holy things and make fun of Christians. But may I remind you this morning that God loves a scorner too, and God has patience with a scorner. Notice he says, how long will you scorners delight in your scorning? He's giving you time, folks. Listen, if you're one of those people today, you say, you know what? I don't even think about what's going to happen in the future. I just want to live for today. One day at a time. I just want to live for today. No, listen. He's saying, how long are you going to be simple on this thing? Don't you understand that judgment is coming? Don't you understand that death is coming? And then the scorners, they make fun of stuff and say, oh, those Bible thumpers over there, they're always preaching judgment. They're always judging other people. How long will you keep on scorning? The Lord says. He has patience with them. Then there's a third group of people called the fools. Now the Bible is very clear on the definition of a fool. The Bible says this in Psalm 53:1. It says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The reason why that a person today who says in his heart that there is no God is a fool is because he already knows in his heart that God does exist. And he knows that there is a God. Here's what it says in Romans chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. It says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them." You know what that means? That means that everybody on this planet knows that there is a God. You've heard me give the illustration before. How is it that you go out in South America or in some, you know, just out in the middle of a jungle somewhere, away from all people, and these people are worshiping the sun, and they're worshiping, like a wooden carved out God or a totem pole? Who told them to worship anything? It's put inside of them. They know that there's a God. They know it. We all know it. And you say, well, yeah, but the atheist says that they don't believe. That's the reason they're a fool. They know that there is no God, but yet they'll sit there and say, I just don't believe God exists. Listen, why would somebody ever try to act like God doesn't exist when they know that he does deep down? Because they think if they can hide their head in the sand, and they think that if they can convince others to think like they do, then somehow they won't have to answer to God one day. But may I tell you, if the whole world were to turn out to be atheists come tomorrow, if everybody in this church and everybody all around the whole world tomorrow, all 8 billion people, everybody in the world got up tomorrow morning and said, you know what, there is no God, death is still going to come, and judgment is still going to come after that. It doesn't matter who's atheist and who isn't. Not going to stop what God says is going to happen. Not going to stop it. Everybody will die. Everybody will stand before the throne of God and face judgment. Whether you want to agree with it, whether you want to deny it, whether you want to act like none of it's going to happen, none of that matters. Hebrews 9:27 says, as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. But I may also say that God has patience with the fool. Even though the fool has said in his heart there is no God, wisdom says, how long, you fools, how long will you fools hate knowledge? How long? Whether you're simple, whether you're a scorner, whether you're a fool, God is being patient with you. And wisdom's invitation is public, it's urgent, and it is patient. Here's the second thing I want you to notice here about this passage here in Proverbs chapter 1. That is not only the invitation of wisdom, but I want you to notice the message that wisdom has to give. If you're lost today, and it really doesn't matter if you're simple or a scorner or even a fool, here's the message that wisdom has for you. In other words, here's the wise thing for you to do. First thing you need to do is repent. Look, if you would, at verse 23. Notice it says this. That first word you need to pay attention to, it says turn. Turn you at my reproof. That means the Lord has reproved you. And now that the Lord has reproved you, he wants you to turn and obey what he reproved you and what he said rather than the direction you're going. Okay? She says, turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you, and I will make known my words unto you. You say, what does that word turn mean? It means to repent. You know what repent means? It means to change your mind or your heart over something. First time you see the word repent in your Bible is when it said that the Lord repented that he had made man. After he looked at man there in Genesis 6 and saw the wickedness of his imagination, it was always wicked, and they were doing all these wicked things, and it said he repented the Lord that he made man. Repent does not mean stop sinning. Why? God never sinned. But it does mean that he had a change of mind and heart over a matter. He was saying this, man has gotten so bad, I wished I'd never made him begin with. That's what repent means, to have a change of mind or a change of heart over a matter. And there must be repentance. The wisdom says here in verse 23 that if you do repent, that the Lord will pour out his spirit on you. And it says, I will make known unto you, make known his words unto you. Now, here's what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2:14. It says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the spirit, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. What that's saying is this. The only way that a lost person will ever understand the spiritual things that you find in that Bible is they have to be saved first, because it's the Holy Spirit that teaches us that Bible. And the only way you're going to get the Holy Spirit to teach you anything in that Bible is that he's got to be indwelling within you. And the only way you're going to get him to dwell within you is to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. And so you may be able to read the Bible. You may be able to get facts and dates and even memorize the kings of Israel. You may be able to do that. Maybe you're lost here this morning and you know the names of the 12 apostles. You maybe know those things, but you'll never know the wisdom that this book has. You'll never understand the truth of this book until God's Holy Spirit pours it out upon you. And the only way you're going to get the Holy Spirit is if you choose to be saved this morning. Now, here's how the scripture declares that this thing works. For a lost person today, here's what the Bible says. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit was sent to this earth to reprove this world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Hold your place here and turn over to John chapter 16. John chapter 16. John chapter 16. There are preachers today that say, oh, repentance is not part of salvation. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Repentance is not only a part of salvation, but it's also a part of you staying in fellowship with the Lord. You got to change your mind about some things. Hey, listen, this morning, if you're not right with God and you're harboring some sin, you should repent of that. In other words, you should have a change of mind about that and saying, you know what, rather than harboring that sin like that's keeping me out of fellowship with God, I would like to have my prayers answered, so I'm gonna ask forgiveness of that sin and confess it. That's called a change of mind and heart over a matter. That's called repentance. Listen, same thing happens here. Now, in John chapter 16, look at verse 7. It says this, the Lord says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, watch it, he will reprove who? The world. That's everybody. He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to the Father and ye see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. Now, these verses declare that the Lord has sent the Holy Spirit to reprove the world. That's everybody. And once a lost person who is reproved of the sin and righteousness and judgment, either he will have a change of mind and heart and forsake his way and turn to the Lord and call upon the name of the Lord for salvation, which is repentance, or he will not repent. He will not have a change of mind. He will not forsake his way, and he will not turn to the Lord, and he'll stay unsaved. But if a lost person repents and calls upon the name of the Lord for salvation, and he puts his trust in Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross, wisdom says the Lord will pour out his spirit upon that man. He says, I'll make known his words unto that man. The Lord says in verse 23 in our text, Proverbs 1:23, he says, turn you at my reproof. You know the Holy Spirit that reproved you of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Turn you at my reproof, and I will pour out my spirit unto you. I'll make known my words unto you. So we see in this passage in Proverbs chapter 1, we see the invitation of wisdom. It's public, it's urgent, it's patient. We see the message of wisdom, and that message is you need to repent. Then the third thing I want you to see is not only the invitation of wisdom, and not only the message of wisdom, but I want you to see the warning of wisdom. Now, I've noticed that, you know, people today, you've heard people joke about it, and I think there was even one comedian who made a whole series about it. How many of you remember the "This Is Your Sign" thing? And what it basically is there were just some things that people should know that they don't know, and so we got to give them the sign that says, don't do this, don't do that. How many of you remember that one instance here a long time ago where the lady ordered the hot coffee from McDonald's, and she burned her lip when she drank it? Duh. Amen? But now they got to put it on the cup saying, might be hot. Might be hot to touch. Might burn the tongue if you drink it. Little things like that. Like if you open up the car, if you got a newer car and you look right there by your radiator fan, it says, keep hands out of radiator fan. What idiot would put their hands there and the radiator fan's moving? Amen? Somebody did. Somebody did. There are warnings. Warnings that people need to be aware of. Why? Because people need to be told. They need to be told. Here, wisdom gives a warning. You say, what is the warning that wisdom gives? Well, it's the same warning that you actually see in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. And that warning is this. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. That is a warning, folks. In Galatians 6, you know what it's saying? It's saying this. Be careful what you do, because the chickens are going to come home to roost. Amen. You may think today it's okay for me to commit this sin or to do this or to do that or allow this in my life. But one of these days, you may not pay for it today, but you'll pay for it someday. It says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You know what wisdom is warning is here today? It's you will reap what you sow. That is wisdom's warning here. Look if you would at verse 24. It says, because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and with none of my reproof, I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When you see people have laughed at God, people have mocked God's wisdom, but there's a time coming when the mocker is going to be mocked. There's a time coming when the scorner is going to be scorned. Psalm chapter 2, verses 4 and 5 says, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Listen, why is the wisdom of God laughing and mocking at these people? Because they're reaping what they've sowed. Whether a man sows, that shall he reap. If you sow mocking, then you'll reap mocking. If you sow laughing, then you'll reap laughing. If you sow derision, then you'll reap derision. And listen, God's not laughing because he thinks it's funny. There's no humor here at all. He's laughing here as a laughter of irony. Look at verse 26 again. It says, I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation. You know what word desolation means? That word desolation means to be left alone. To be left alone. Did you know there's a time coming, if you keep on rejecting Jesus Christ, there's a time coming, he's going to leave you alone. He's going to leave you alone. You say, I don't believe that'll ever happen. Here's what God said in Genesis 6:3. He says, my spirit will not always strive with a man. He's not always going to strive with man. God is patient. God wants everybody saved. God wants you to obey the gospel today if you've never obeyed the gospel, because he wants to be with you forever. Again, when you read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, you know what you see? God has been searching for his own people to be their God and them to be his people. He put Adam and Eve on this earth for them to multiply, and it was supposed to be them being his people and him being their God, but man blew it, and they sinned, and they separated themselves from God. But the entire time, God has been offering salvation, 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 and saying at the end, I just want people that want to be around me, that love me. Wouldn't you want that? There are people today saying, well, God controls who's going to get saved and who doesn't get saved, and we don't have a choice no matter. Who would want to live with people like that? So all these people, they really don't like me, but I'm going to make them like me, so I'll live with them forever. No, you wouldn't do that. Don't you want to be around people that genuinely want to be around you? Don't you want to love people that genuinely want to love you? That's what God wants too. And he's wanted it from Genesis. And by the time you get to Revelation, you know what you see? You see the new Jerusalem coming down. You see a new heaven and new earth. And you see everybody on that new earth and new heaven, every one of them are God's people. And he is their God. And they live happily ever after. If you're saved, you've made your choice and saying, God, I love you. I want to be with you forever. And God says, done. If you're saved, that means you're going to be with God forever. That means when you get over there in Revelation chapter 20 and 21, and you see that new Jerusalem dropping down with new heaven, new earth, that's your home, folks. And you and all the other Christians that trusted in Jesus Christ and all the other people that chose God, you're all going to live together with God, and he's going to finally get what he's been wanting this entire time, his own people. And we're going to get our own God. And there it is. That's heaven forever. Amen? But if you're lost, you're on the outside looking in. You've got to make that choice one way or the other. Either you choose to be with God or you don't. Either you choose to be saved or you don't. And God's patient. He wants you to be saved. He wants you to obey the gospel. He wants to be with you forever. But one day, if you keep on rejecting him and keep on rejecting the gospel, the patience of God will run out. One day you may say no to God for the last time, and he'll stretch out his hands for you no more. No longer will he lift up his voice. No longer will he give that voice of invitation. He'll leave you alone. You'll be desolate. And I'll tell you this, I can't think of a more scary thing than that. To be desolate. And God is saying, you know what? I've come to you and I've come to you and I've come to you. And I just can't, I'm not going to come to you anymore. God's wisdom says that he will mock you when your fear cometh as desolation. And then he says, I'll mock you when your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you. Wisdom says, I'll mock you when the wrath of God is upon the simple, upon the scorners, upon the fools. You say, why? Because when the simples and the scorners and the fools had a chance to listen to the wisdom of God and accept wisdom's invitation to repent and be saved, they rejected that invitation. The simple laughed. The wisdom will laugh at the simple when they're facing destruction. The scorners mocked, but wisdom will mock the scorners when they're facing destruction. The fools who claim that there is no God, one day the fool will seek God, and God will not be found. Proverbs 1:28 says, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, and they shall not find me. You say, well, I just don't see how God, a God of love, could do something like that. He doesn't. He doesn't. Look at verse 31. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. God doesn't do it. You do. You know, God's never done anything wrong towards us. It's always been us. Do you realize that even back there in Genesis, God made the earth, everything was perfect. He had man there tending the garden. He gave him a helpmeet. Everything was great. God did everything for us. It was man who said, nope, don't want it. It's man who stepped away from God, not God who stepped away from man. And even today, one of these days when the scorners and the fools and the simple all keep on rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ, keep on rejecting the gospel, when all of a sudden their destruction comes, they'll be mocked the same way they mocked. They'll be laughed at the same way they laughed at. And it says, they eat the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. As it happened, if this happens to you, it's not because you could not be saved, it's because you would not be saved. And the fruit that you eat will be from the trees that you planted and from the garden that you planted. And what's coming to you is nothing more and nothing less than what Galatians 6:7 says when it says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. You mock God today, he'll mock you one day. When you're crying out and you're saying, Lord, forgive me. Lord, give me another chance. Lord, if I had known. And the Lord saying, nope, too late. And he'll mock you. Why? You're going to reap what you sow. You're going to reap what you sow. If you want mercy, today you can have mercy. If you want forgiveness, today you can have forgiveness. If you want grace, today you can get grace. But wisdom's calling out to you. If you answer her call, you'll be saved. Look at verse 33. But whoso hearken unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. What a good deal. She's saying, listen, I'm crying out in the streets. I'm telling you this message. I'm telling you you need to repent. And I'm warning you that if you don't repent, and if you keep on mocking, and you keep on laughing, and you keep on saying the Lord really doesn't exist, one of these days destruction is going to come, and you'll be the one being laughed at. You'll be the one being mocked. And listen, the very God that you said doesn't exist, you'll seek him and you'll not find him. You'll get exactly what you wanted. What you reap, you're going to sow. She's calling to you today. Now listen, if you're not saved here today, why would you turn down that call? Why would you turn down that invitation? I mean, she's saying all you have to do is just repent. So listen, Holy Spirit of God has already reproved you of sin, righteousness, and judgment. You know the truth. You know there's a God. You know that you're a sinner. Yes, you do. Everybody in here knows that they're a sinner. Everybody in here knows that they've sinned before. And that Bible says the wage of sin is death. You know it's true. Even if you say, well, I don't believe in God, you still know it's true. Just hiding your head in the sand ain't going to stop anything. It's still true. And will you repent and say, you know what? Holy Spirit, reprove me. I'm going to turn at God's reproof. I'm going to turn and I'm going to put my trust in Jesus Christ who died on the cross for my sins. Because that's the only thing that's going to save me. Simple as that. But may I tell you, wisdom's not only crying out to the lost today, wisdom's crying out to the saved today as well. What are you talking about? Did she not say repent? Listen, today if you're not living right, if today if you're not serving the Lord like you should be serving the Lord, today if you're not reading your Bible like you should, if you're not doing the things that Bible tells you to do, or if you're doing things that you know you shouldn't be doing, wisdom's crying out. You know what she's saying? Repent. Repent. Change your course. Change your mind about this thing. Rather than harboring that sin, rather than keep on living the life that you're living, do what God tells you to do. So the question is this morning is this, whether you're saved or not, will you listen to the words of wisdom this morning? She's crying out to you. Let's stand.